Big K from San Diego.
My name is Jake. I'm an alcoholic. I'll start to share what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I have a home group, Cedar Street Men's. I have a sponsor by the name of Rick. I've worked the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and have a sobriety date, November 13th, 2006. I'm well into my fourth year of sobriety, coming up on number five. It's really nervous here. There's a lot of people. I've only been in this meeting one other time, but the message of Alcoholics Anonymous has saved my life. What it was like was I came to San Diego by way of Oakland. I spent a lot of time in trailer parks, in front of liquor stores. And drugs are a part of my story, but I'm not going to touch base on that. I drank a lot of Wild Turkey, a lot of Jack Daniels, hard liquor. I thought that it was the cure-all for my problems, and it wasn't. I spent a lot of time in jail. 1996, I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous by the way of an institution, and I wasn't ready to be sober until about 2006. So it took 10 years for me to be in this program to actually understand that it's the action of working the steps that gets me to where I am now in the solution. Congratulations on 2 years, man. I really touched base with that. It was short and sweet and to the point. And it means a lot, you know, to celebrate birthdays and celebrate birthdays with people in this room. The Rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous have done for me things I could never have done for myself. I was an individual, and I realized that through AA, I couldn't have done this by myself. I had a group that would help support me, get me through this. Like I said, you know, I did a lot of stupid shit, and I got in trouble quite a bit, and I drank a lot, and it put me in a place that I thought I'd never be. And once I was in that place, I thought I'd never be able to get out of it. And I spent a lot of time in worry and self-pity and thinking that the world owed me and that I didn't have to do anything to get what I've received here. And I know that what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. It's 10 minutes, seems like a long time to me. So thank you. What happened is I came to San Diego one summer. I got a wild hair up my ass, and I jumped on a Greyhound bus with about $70 in my pocket and came to San Diego. And I didn't know where I was going or what I was doing, and somebody suggested that I go check out Pacific Beach, because that's where a lot of homeless people are. And I showed up here homeless, and I enjoyed myself for a summer on the streets. I didn't sleep a lot, and the weather was great, so it wasn't very cold at all, not like where I came from. I spent a lot of time in doorways under awnings in the rain, listening to blues bands from the bar across the way, because I'd been 86 from that bar previously. And now when I got to San Diego, it was like a paradise, and I wasn't accustomed to it, and I tried AA by marijuana maintenance, and that didn't work. I would not suggest that. I met a few people, and, you know, they put their hands out, and I touched base with the message of AA, and it had been 10 years since I'd been trying this, and I had been in numerous recovery homes and numerous institutions, and never really had the opportunity to grasp the concept. And I went back to Oakland after the summer, and if you know anything about Oakland, I came back immediately within the next couple months. I was like, no way, I'm not going to go through this again. I mean, when you walk down the street in the middle of the night at 2 or 3 in the morning, and you're just like, hey, what's up, hey, what's up, hey, I know you, you know, it's the strangest thing, man. I don't blend in well. So obviously I came back. And I found a higher power, San Diego Sheriff's Department. They led me to believe that there was someone greater than me, and they definitely were. It was a relief, actually. I needed to get locked up. At that point, I didn't really care whether or not I got locked up. Three hots and a cot was a better option than what was going on for me. And I didn't know this about San Diego, but once you get incarcerated in San Diego, they love to transfer you to places. And I went to like three different places in San Diego, three different institutions. I'd never done any state time in San Diego, and I told the lady, I said, hey, why don't you just put me in state? And they wouldn't do it. So I had to deal with a lot of the transferring, and I managed to make it to about my release date, 14 days before my release date, and I was going to be scot-free, and I had no intelligent plans. And I had signed up for a program, and I was pissed because the program picked me up. I was 14 days at the house, and the program was a mandatory, I think it was a six-month to a year program. And by the grace of God, I'm standing here before you today because I ended up in a program that only accepts alcoholic, homeless men. And I made it through that program, hanging dead people's clothes and putting bric-a-brac, whatever the hell you call it, in freaking cardboard boxes. And I managed to stay sober somehow, some way. And I made it through the graduation, and the very next day I got kicked out. Attitude, ego, you know, selfishness, self-seeking motives. And I managed to get kicked out. And I left there with more than what I came with and ended up in a van on some side street. Somebody had a van that I had slept in for a few days. And then I started attending meetings, and I got the opportunity to have somewhere to live. And I ended up living in a moldy bathroom on a bathroom floor in a beat-up gym in Pacific Beach called Cass Street Gym. And if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. Next to a sober living, and I managed to get sober by going to a meeting in Pacific Beach every morning called Dawn Patrol, and Friday night meeting called The Gong Show. Don't go there. Anyway, if you want sobriety, I would suggest, if you're a woman, go to a woman's meeting. If you're a man, go to a man's meeting. I attend men's meetings, have a home group, Cedar Street Men's, and that's where I get my sobriety from. What it was like, basically, was just, I don't know how I got sober. You know, I really don't know how I got sober. I found a God. I would get on my knees at the program that I was at, and I would get to the pillar, and I would pray, and I wouldn't believe that there was a God. But I would do it, because I had no other option. I had no other option. Like, my only other option was to go to prison or die. And that wasn't a good enough option for me, because I knew I could succeed because I had succeeded before. And what it's like now today is my life is a complete 180. I do things that I never thought that I would have done. I have really quality problems today, you know. Like somebody took my 10-minute speaker spot. Now I have a resentment. And I'm going to have to share that with my sponsor. And the coffee pot only serves hot water prior to the meeting, I suppose. You know, what I do is I try to touch base with other alcoholics and share my message to the best of my ability. And I've had sponsees, and I've had sponsees drink. But what they've done for me is keep me sober. And I've stayed sober long enough to be able to wake up this morning, pray to my God, have a beautiful day, ride my bike, and just do things that I've never done. The sun shines today. And before, the sun just used to bake me with a homeless tan. So it's like, it's a different world for me. And, you know, the element of AA, surprisingly enough, will work for you. I never thought it would work. I thought it was fake and phony. And I thought the people that came up here were full of shit. And I've learned through people that have experience in this program that if I'm not successful at anything, I could stay sober. And I've done that up to this point. I've worked the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, all 12, and I haven't really shared any inventory with my sponsor for a while, so I like to be in pain. I like to really absorb it. I'm like a sponge for pain. Tattoos quit working a long time ago. So I need emotional pain. And I've gotten to the point now where, like, I have all the same defects of character that I've always had. I've just learned how to manage them. And now I can live life with some manageability. And before that, I didn't have the manageability. I didn't have a God. I didn't have hope. You know, I didn't have compassion. I had no compassion. None. At all. And I've learned that I can have integrity as a human being and introduce myself to people as an alcoholic and not be ashamed of myself. Because before, it was, I'm an alcoholic, that's the worst thing I could possibly be. And now, being an alcoholic is the greatest thing that I've ever done in my life. You know, read the book. That's all I got. Thank you.